12, would you please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I won't read there straight away. I'd like to pray first, then I want to highlight two verses as we start. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. We thank you for our church. Thank you for, Lord, our young people. We ask that you may continue to help them to grow in you and to use them mightily in the years to come, as well as now. Thank you for every age in our church, and I pray that regardless of what stage in life we are in, we will seek to glorify you in our life. And Lord, we'll take on those responsibilities that we have depending on where we are in our life. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the grace to do that. And as we come and we consider you tonight and how wonderful a God you are to us, I pray that we would go away rejoicing in the wonderful Heavenly Father that we do have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've looked at the title this evening, you'll notice the title is In Good Hands. In Good Hands. It's a phrase that people use to assure someone that they are in the safe, competent care of someone. And the reason I can state that with such authority is I looked up the dictionary, or I Googled it actually. What does the phrase in good hands mean? It means in the safe, competent care of someone. And that can bring a lot of comfort. If you're having surgery, you want to be told by probably the nurses, don't worry, you're in good hands with this surgeon. That's something you want to hear. If they say, oh, you're not in very good hands, you know, you might want to pull out of the surgery. You want to hear you're in good hands. If you need to go and get counseled in a particular matter, you want to know that you are in good hands. If you're off to the hospital and you have to have a little stay there, you want to know that under the care of the doctors and the nurses that you're in good hands, in the safe, competent care of someone. Now, as believers, we can feel very comfortable and secure as well, because we're told that we are in the hands of somebody. And we're told who this is in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "And I give unto them eternal life," that's those who trust him, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So here we see that we have two sets of hands that we are in as believers. The hands of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and also the hands of our Heavenly Father. In other words, we can be sure that we are in the safe, competent care as believers, because we are in God's hands. God's hands are good hands to be in. And in the Word of God, we're told a number of things about our Heavenly Father's hands that should assure us that we're in safe hands, competent hands, caring hands. And it's these hands that I just want us to have a look at this evening. And so if we turn over to Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, we discover in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, that our Heavenly Father has creative hands. It says there in Psalm 19, verse 1, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So the heavens declare the handiwork of God. And as you look at the heavens, you see these are very creative hands. In Isaiah 48:13, it says, "Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." Jeremiah tells us that the Lord fashions us in the womb with his hands. And so, creation is a product of God's hands. The earth with all its wonders, the heavens with its magnitude, are a product of our Heavenly Father's creative hands. When you look at the wonders of the human body and the way that we're able to see and how that all works with the eye and goes to the brain and every other little part, we see that how we have been formed by our Savior, the God of heaven. We see he's a very creative God and he has very creative hands. That should make us stand in awe of him. Some people are very creative. Others aren't. I'm not very creative. But some can take something, and it could be crocheting, it could be sewing, it could be taking a bit of wood and changing it to a certain thing or building something, and they can use their hands to create wonderful things. And you look at them and think, wow, that is amazing. And I know for myself, when I think of my earthly father, I have to admit that I was not very often impressed with his creative hands because he didn't seem to create too many things. He was a pastor. And as a young man, that didn't bring me a lot of respect, admittedly. He just seemed to be in his study all day, reading and writing. And then he goes and talks to people. You know, I never saw him actually create anything. Until I was about 14. And I went to Dad and said, "Dad, I want to breed finches. Can you get someone to build an aviary for me?" Because I knew he couldn't build an aviary. And he said, "Oh, I'll build you one." Oh, great. What is it going to look like? But over the course of a few weeks, I stood in awe of my father. He put the concrete down. This is about 3 metres by 6 metres, this aviary. He put the timber frame up. He lined it with wire, you know, finch wire or bird wire. It had 3 rooms and a little hallway, and it had a roof. And I couldn't believe that he could actually create something like that. His hands actually could take something and create it. And I was amazed by that, even as a teenager. And that probably is the only thing I've ever seen him create with his hands, but I still remember it. Now, if you have a father or had a father who was very creative with his hands, well, then you have many things to stand in awe of. How he could take something and make something with his hands. Yet we only have to go outside tonight, if the clouds aren't there, look up into the heavens, and we see the handiwork of our Heavenly Father. And that should make us stand in awe. Or we take some blood and we look it under a microscope and see another world. And see the creation, the handiwork of our Heavenly Father. And realize that his hands are very creative. And we see that he is a very powerful God who has powerful hands. He has impressive hands. Amazing hands to do amazing things. And so, our Heavenly Father has creative hands. And as we look into the Scripture, we see that he has strong hands. Hands that should bring security. You know, a verse that I already read in Isaiah 48, verse 13. God says, "My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens." It's like he says, "I've got with my hand and I've just spanned out the heavens." Showing how big he is. You know, as a young child, you You often get your father's hand and you put your hand, and your hand seems so small compared to your father's. You go, wow, he has got big hands. Now, you might grow up and realize they're not that big. It's just that you only had tiny little hands at the time. But you're always impressed as a young person when you compare your hand to your Heavenly Father's hand. And you realize, this guy is strong. I am secure because of his strength. And that's how we should look. How big is our God? Well, he just got his hand and stretched out the heavens. Thus he is so big. You know, we're told in Psalm 89, verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. When we think of our Father in heaven, he's a strong God. He has strong hands. And that should bring us a lot of security. You know, there's something about knowing that Dad is present. I know for me, because he went out a lot at night, I would lie in bed, and as a young boy, I would feel anxious knowing that my father wasn't there. I knew if anyone robbed us, not that it was like a regular occurrence or anything, it never happened actually, but always thinking of the worst scenario, someone's going to come and rob us when Dad is not home. And Mum wouldn't be able to do too much. Her hands aren't that strong. They're pretty, but they weren't strong. And so, but I know that when I heard the back door open and I heard the voice of my father, I could feel the anxiety just disappear. Dad's home. That one with the strong hands. You know, if you're full of anxiety and fears, you're afraid of what might happen to you in the future. If you are fearful of the unknowns and what may be lurking around the corner that you're not aware of, it only shows that you don't realize how strong your Father is and how he won't allow anything into your life unless he determines it is the best thing for you. And he has a plan for it, and he will help you every step of the way through it as well. Everything is designed by him and for his glory. And that should bring a lot of comfort. It should be like when we realize, oh, Dad's home. Dad's present. Our Heavenly Father is here. Oh, I can relax. He has very strong hands. And I can trust that he will keep me. And so he has strong hands. But we also find that he has helping hands. You know, when you're a child, you need your father's hand to help you do a lot of things. I remember, as a father, I know that I had to use my hands to help my children in lots of ways. If you go right back to nearly the beginning, I needed to help them up onto the lounge. That's how small they were once. They needed me to get them up on the lounge. They needed me to get them up onto the bed. And then they needed me to push them on the swing because they couldn't do it themselves. So I gave them the push. They needed me to lift things up that were too heavy. They needed me to loosen things that were too tight. They needed me to steady them when they wanted to walk on something that was maybe a little bit high. You know, if you get your children to walk on a plank, even a meter high, you find that they either don't want to do it or they're all very nervous about walking on the plank. But it's amazing how you just have to hold them by the hand and they feel they have all the confidence in the world just taking the hand of their father. You know, it says in Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's a beautiful verse. You need that. We have a Heavenly Father who wants to take hold of our hand and he wants to help us. He wants to hold our hand so we can have that confidence to walk on those paths that he wants us to walk on. And when we have to cross over on a plank, so to speak, and it seems like it's very narrow and very risky, he says, let me hold your hand so I can get you across there. If something's too heavy, he says, let me take the burden for you. If something's too high, he says, let me lift you up on as eagle's wings. If we feel low because we've made a big mess of something, our Heavenly Father wants to come and take us by the hand and lift us up. He says in Psalm 37 verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. When we fall, he's there to pick us up as well. Now remember when Peter started off so well, walking on the water, and then he began to sink as his faith failed him. Whose hand was there to help him up? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, it says. You know, anyone who's a father will know when you see your children need help, there is a natural instinct to want to reach out and help them in whatever way. Sometimes it's physically help them. Sometimes it's just metagorically, I think that's the word. You want to help them. Take out your hand and lift them up in one way. And we see here that if we want to do it, certainly our loving Heavenly Father wants to do the same thing. When we're struggling with a temptation, he wants to give us a helping hand to get through that. When we're overwhelmed by the circumstances that seem to be around us, he wants to give us a helping hand. You know, as you seek to serve him as a young person, step out of your comfort zone. And then when you, maybe not a young person, but you become a parent and a mother, and there's all these other challenges where you have to step out of your comfort zone. When you're a husband and a father, and there are all these circumstances, to when you get to those older ages and there are things that you have to face that certainly put you out of your comfort zone, we have a Heavenly Father who says, I want to take you by your hand. As he says there, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now that's the hand you want to be holding. We're told, Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we have a God who has a hand that wants to help us. We also have a Heavenly Father who has a giving hand. You say, a giving hand. What do you mean by that? Well, our Heavenly Father gives us things in various ways and for various reasons. The Lord gives us certain things because he wants to use us. And so he equips us with the tools that we need, first of all. For example, just say it's a Saturday and unfortunately Dad has this great idea to get in and do something in the yard because Mum's suggested it quite a few times throughout the course of the week. And so he's there and he says, okay, kids, we're going to go out and do some certain things. And he gives you a job to do. So he tells you what he wants you to be doing. That's the start. But usually he gives you the tool that he wants you, that you're going to need to do that job as well. So he might give someone the wheelbarrow. And so I guess you got the idea what you're going to do. Give someone the shovel, all right, or whatever it may be, the clippers. So he gives you the instructions and he also gives you the tool that you're going to need. And we're told that's what our Heavenly Father does for us. Jeremiah, we're told there, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. God wanted Jeremiah to go and be a prophet, but he didn't just say, go be a prophet. He gave him the ability to do it as well. And when we turn over to the New Testament, we know that God wants to use us in all different ways. But he doesn't just say, I want you to do this. says, I'm going to equip you to do it as well. I'm glad about that. And so you walk off with the command and you got your tool. And it may be a gift of teaching, it may be a gift of exhortation, it might be a gift of giving, whatever it may be. But he enables us. And so we have a giving God, or a hand that give, because he wants to use us. That's not all that he gives us, though. You know, when you, as a father myself, yes, I may give instructions to my children and give them the tool they need as well, but I know as a father, I'd much rather just give them something nice, not with a job attached to it, because I know that's what they're going to enjoy more. And as a child, you can, if you're a child now, or you can think back to your childhood, you can think of those times where your father gave you those birthday gifts and those Christmas presents, or maybe just something special because he loves you. Fathers generally, and mothers, I'm not leaving out mothers, but we're looking at the father, they want to give gifts, good gifts, just because you love your children. And Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We have a selfless God who wants to give us wonderful things. I want you to turn to Psalm. It's just one verse, but it's an important verse. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, the psalmist says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's some amazing things just in this verse. God will show us the path of life. These are the paths to go down. In his presence is fullness of joy, yet at his right hand there are pleasures, and these pleasures are forevermore. You know, in another Psalm, 145, verse 16, it says, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. You know, at the right hand of our Father are pleasures. We often think of Satan being the one who has pleasures to give out. God has things to do, maybe. But we see here that God has pleasures as well. Our Heavenly Father's pleasures, well, notice there, sorry, it says he has pleasures, plural. But he also has these multiple pleasures forevermore. They are everlasting. Yes, Satan has pleasures, but it says pleasures for a season. They only last for a short time and they're gone. Yet we see here that the pleasures that God have to offer are forevermore. If you want to seek pleasures, seek them from the right hand of God. Because he has pleasures to give to the extent that he will satisfy the desire of every living thing. And they're forever. Not for just a season. The other thing about God's pleasures are that they are free. He has already paid all that needs to be paid in order to give them to us. And that's how a father should give gifts to his children. They come free, simply as an expression of my love. But Satan's pleasures come with a price. Yet often you got to take the pleasure and then you get the bill later. Often you don't know what the price will be. It could be, it may cost you your purity. It may cost you your health. It may cost you your joy. It may cost you your good name. It could cost you your family or your friends or even your soul. While the Heavenly Father's pleasures say, It doesn't cost you anything. It's free because I love you. And so we have our Heavenly Father who has hands that are very giving. But then last of all, we see one more. And it's probably similar to others, but he has safe hands. He has safe hands. I don't know if you can remember doing this as a child or you've experienced this as a parent. Have you ever been going on a bushwalk and your child sees this little stone that they think is the most amazing thing in the world and that it's precious, or maybe that you're walking on the beach and they see a shell or something. It's precious. I don't want to lose this. So what do they think? I'll go give it to Dad. Dad, can you hold this for me? And don't lose it. You know, why do we always have to get things, right? Why can't they hold it themselves? You often think if you're a parent. Well, the reason why they want you to is because, wow, this is special to me. I don't want to lose it. So I'm going to give it to someone that I know is very strong and someone that will really take care of this. Someone that's far more responsible than me because I don't want to lose it. And so it makes sense why you take it to your father or your mother. Now, having said that, what is the most precious thing to you and to me? The reality is, it's our soul and our life. You can separate it or you can join it together. Our life is precious to us, and also our soul is. And the good news is, we're told that our Heavenly Father keeps both these things in His hands. In Psalm 31 verse 15 it says, "My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." King David had trusted his time on this earth into the hands of his Heavenly Father. That's a good place to put your time to on this earth. Job says in chapter 12, verse 10, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." You know, it's a comfort to know that you have a loving, powerful, protecting, giving Heavenly Father who holds your time on this earth in His hands. They are good hands to have your life in. God's hands. And He says, "I will keep it, and you will remain on this earth as long as I want you to. But I'll take it when it's ready as well." You know, there's a lot of peace that comes to say, "Dad, Father, Abba Father, will you just take my life and you protect me and let my life be in your hands?" That's a wonderful thing. And then if you want to take it one step further, "Take my soul, my eternal being, and you keep it in your hands." And that's where Jesus said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, I don't know if you can say this, I trust you can, but I can say my life and my soul, my eternal destiny, is safe in my Father's hand. And that means I'm in good hands. Are you in good hands tonight? If you're a child of God, you are. Let's remember that and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, there is great security, great comfort when we stop and consider the hands that we are in. Help us to trust you more and to love you more because of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.